Continuing on this series about expressing appreciation. Today's lesson, I just want to focus on the idea of how do you say grace? This coming Thursday, there'll be more people saying grace in our country, at least. Sometimes we forget that Thanksgiving is really an American holiday. It's really an American tradition. But there'll be more people saying grace before they sit down to eat that Thanksgiving meal than perhaps any other time during the year. Even those who routinely say a blessing at the table are moved by tradition to especially do so. And those who don't normally do it may be moved to do it. It's not a bad thing. Matter of fact, I'm thankful whenever people are thankful. Aren't you? I am. I was reminded of some scenes from some films that I was going to show you today, but I'll try to recap them. Maybe they'll be familiar to you. But I was reminded that saying grace isn't always synonymous with being thankful, though. Matter of fact, one of my favorite little clips is from a film, Christmas Vacation. Now, watch an edited version, because I understand that there's a few lines in it that I would not recommend at all. But this particular scene, they're sitting down at their Thanksgiving meal. Chevy Chase, he's the head at the table, and he says, I believe since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Thanksgiving, we should ask her to say grace. So Aunt Bethany can't hear very well. So she says, what? And somebody says, grace, say grace. And she said, Grace died 30 years ago. She says, no. So her husband leans over and says, no, they want you to say the blessing. So, oh. So she gets quiet, she bows her head, and everybody else bowing their head. They're waiting, and she goes, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And it's this point where Cousin Eddie stands up and puts his hand on his heart. So they all stand, and they say the Pledge of Allegiance. To which Chevy Chase doesn't know what to do other than say, amen, at the end of it. Now, Aunt Bethany's not the only one who doesn't get it when it comes to saying grace. Might not quite get the concept. She's not alone, see? She's not alone in that. I've known far too many people who might laugh at her or even criticize her or others who might not routinely say grace before a meal, who don't have the right idea either. They may be mouth words of thankfulness, but their speeches are peppered with pride that dilutes the grandeur of the gratitude. Another clip that came to my mind from the movie Shenandoah, one of my favorite films. But they're sitting down, and James Stewart, who plays the patriarch of the family, is going to say the blessing. And basically, it goes like this. God, we thank you for what we're about to eat. We planted it, we grew it, we tended it, we harvested it, we cooked it, we put it on the table. Wouldn't be here if we hadn't done all that, but thank you, Lord, anyway. Huh? Once again, something lacking there in the thankfulness expressed. How do you say grace? How do you do that? Do you keep it short and sweet like a lot of people do? And they would prefer, my grandson Wyatt, he really prefers the short prayer before we sit down and eat. He likes this one. Good food, good meat, good God, let's eat. He likes that one. There's a Scottish version, and I attempt to do the Scottish accent. It goes something like this. Some hae meat and canna eat. Some can eat and want it. We hae meat and we can eat, so let the Lord be thanked. So if you didn't understand that, yeah. The idea that some have, but they have some health problem, some issue, where they can't enjoy it. Others could, but they don't have it. So if we have it and can enjoy it, wow, we should be particularly thankful. Amen? We really should. So just think about those things. Now, those are some short ones. There are some longer prayers of grace that are said. Some people actually get a little long-winded, believe it or not. But they thank God for each thing at the table. I mean, they thank God for the turkey and for the dressing and, you know, and for the cranberry sauce and for the stuffing and for the mashed potatoes and for the gravy and for the, you know what I'm saying, everything. They'll thank God for everything, including the drink. And then they'll thank God for everyone around the table. And then they'll thank God for their cat and their dog and their toys or their favorite TV show. They'll go on and on and on. They'll thank God for it. Now, that's not a bad thing, again, especially it's usually younger children who do that. We want to encourage them with that, to be thankful for all things. We talked about that, right? All things. Usually in their list, there's nothing bad, though, or discouraging or difficult. Depending upon the circumstances, such as if we're in a noisy, crowded restaurant, or if we're guests at someone else's house who maybe doesn't typically say grace and they just dig right in, you know, we kind of hesitate a minute, and if they do that, then we just kind of bow our heads quietly and say thanks and be grateful. Don't want to, you know, embarrass anybody or make anybody uncomfortable, you know, but we want to be thankful. And what's most important is we express our thanks to God, not put on a display. I think there's something in the Bible about that, about people who are just praying, you know, in public to be seen. So we want to be respectful about that, but quietly thanking God for his provision. Many times, particularly when we're having someone on our heart or something, some circumstance that we've just been aware of that's kind of really heavy, we'll pray for God's intervention, for his healing, for his comfort, before expressing gratitude to God, but also taking opportunity during that to thank God for what we are believing he's going to do about those situations, glorifying himself in those things. On Thanksgiving, our family tradition is for each person present to share one thing at least that they are particularly thankful for. Then, after that's done, then someone will lead in a prayer. But now, some of the kids in that situation might say something like, especially if they're the third or fourth person, "No fair. They took the one I wanted. They took my choice." To which we'll respond, "That's okay. That's okay. You can express thanks for that too if you want to." Being like, "No fair. I've got nothing left to be thankful for. You took the one thing that I was thankful for." Well, that shouldn't be the case. But sometimes we can be focused on one thing so much that we might forget about all the other things that we should be thankful for. Once in a while in that tradition, someone, especially if it's like an extra guest, someone who's been invited along, who's come, or somebody, a new addition to the family, who isn't acquainted yet with all of us and maybe a little uncomfortable, they might pass. Ever been in a prayer chain and, you know, they've said, if you want to just pass, squeeze the hand of the person next to you, you give them that option? We often, with our kids' club, will do that when we're praying. You know, if you don't want to pray, if you don't feel comfortable praying aloud right now, you can pass. So sometimes someone will pass, but they'll usually opt back in before we're done passing the food. Something, you know, I really do want to express something. And usually they do, or at least by the time together is closed. When I asked my barber last week if he had any Thanksgiving plans, he said, "Not really. I don't like turkey." And I replied, "So, like, have ham or beef, mostaccioli, you know, something." He said, "Well, it's not that simple." He said, "You know, every year I get invited to a friend's house and I go and I don't have a choice about what they serve." So offer to bring a dish. Offer to bring something. "Well, He said, I think I'm just going to opt to go to Cracker Barrel or Golden Corral. Go to one of those instead. Oh, okay. It did occur to me, and I didn't say it to him, but I thought, boy, this is a first world problem. You know, 2/3 of the people in the world, if not more, would just die for a taste of turkey. They'd be so pleased, so blessed. We can be kind of particular sometimes, can't we? Paul's words in 1 Timothy 4 come to mind. He says in verse 4, everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. And he says, why? Because it's consecrated by the word of God in prayer. Now, the idea there in context was that there were people refusing to eat certain things because they thought it was offered to idols, or they didn't know where it came from or how it was prepared. Our problem might not be that we are afraid it was offered to idols. We just are concerned how it was prepared or whether it's to our liking. But there's something being said here that's really fundamental. Be thankful. Another place Paul would say, whatever's set before you, receive it, accept it. But here, sanctify it, consecrate it with thanksgiving, receive it with gratitude. Yeah, pray over it if you have any concerns. Let it be consecrated and sanctified by God. So I guess that would mean that we should be thankful for the green bean casserole. Now, that's one of my favorites, actually, but some people. Or that keto pie. I'm not real anxious to try that, to be frank with you. After all the things it says it's left out and substituted, I'm not so sure. But I'm going to be thankful, and I'm going to try it. Seaweed salad. Doesn't sound too appetizing, but it's supposed to be healthy. Be grateful for that too, huh? Yeah. Recent studies reveal that gratitude opens the door to more relationships. So whether you thank a stranger for holding a door or send a thank you note to that colleague who helped you with a project, acknowledge other people's contributions. And it can lead to new opportunities, deeper relationships, more interpersonal relationships. It really can. Do you know people are not drawn to people who are ingrates? They're just not. They're not drawn to people who have hearts of complaining and arguing and always dissing whatever they're given. No. Grateful people, the studies say, routinely experience fewer aches and pains and report feeling more healthy. Not surprisingly, grateful people then are more likely to make healthy choices, prone to exercise more often, and to have regular physical checkups. That tends to promote longevity. Summing it up, guess what they say? Grateful people live longer. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, the studies say, from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Research confirms that gratitude boosts morale and it reduces depression. Grateful folks are more likely to be kind, even when people aren't kind to them. They're less likely to retaliate when they're mistreated. They tend to be more sensitive and sympathetic, less likely to hold grudges or seek revenge. Grateful people usually sleep better. Listen, counting our blessings, even writing them in a gratitude journal, may work much better than MyPillow or Unisom. Spend a few minutes jotting down grateful sentiments before you go to bed, and you'll very likely rest much better. Gratitude improves self-esteem, an essential component to optimum performance. Gratefulness reduces social competitiveness, though. Though you do better, you aren't as competitive in nature towards those who do well. You don't become resentful toward those who have more money or better jobs. Grateful people are able to appreciate the accomplishments of others. Research also has shown that gratitude not only reduces stress, but also may play a major role in overcoming trauma. Gratitude was discovered to be a major asset for Vietnam vets and survivors of terrorist attacks. Recognizing all that we have to be thankful for, even during the worst of times, fosters resilience, they say. Wow. Mexicado says, you know what? If they had a pill that would give you all these benefits, it would market well. If you could get all these benefits from a dose of something, there'd be people standing in line to get it. Wouldn't they? Oh, God knows. But you need a dose of gratitude. That bitter pill that we're so often struggling with, trying to swallow, spit it out and open up for some gratitude. Let God fill us with gratitude and let it overflow. So it seems, see, that no matter how you say grace, at least as far as a method is concerned, it's entirely proper and beneficial that we do so. Wouldn't you say? In fact, it's our Lord Jesus who sets the prime example of this. Before feeding the 5,000, and later, you might remember he fed 4,000. He had to sit down at a feast. Mark tells us in Mark 6 and Mark 8 that he gave thanks for the little that he had, anticipating the bounty that they were about to receive. Now, it seems to me that if the Son of God thought it important to say grace, his followers ought to as well. Don't you think? The most significant time for me, however, of our Lord setting an example of gratitude and saying grace wasn't either of those times. But yet, it was when he sat down with his disciples at the Passover meal. For it was then that he instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, or Eucharist. You can read about it in Mark 14, 22 and following. It says there that while they were eating at this Passover meal, Jesus took bread. Hear this. He blessed and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat, for this is my body. Then he took the cup. Here, gave thanks for it and offered it to them. And they all drank from it. He said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. You see, Jesus gave the blessing, didn't he? Jesus gave thanks, didn't he? Jesus said grace, didn't he? You may recall the term Eucharist refers to thanksgiving. That's what it means. That's the very term that's used when it says Jesus gave thanks for the cup. And you may recall from last week's lesson that the root of that word is also the word for joy. Interesting. In essence, he was not just giving thanks for the bread and the wine, but for what they represented. He thanked his Heavenly Father for the sacrifice he was about to make. For he knew how so many would be blessed through it. He thanked his Heavenly Father, see, for what he was about to go through. Paul Paul later refers to it in 1 Corinthians 10:16, saying, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks our participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks. Some translations will say this cup of blessing. The terms are interchangeable. Being thankful for the blessings. We are blessed, amen? We are. This isn't a lesson about communion, but I couldn't help but think. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 12, it was for the joy set before him that Jesus was able to endure the cross. In that Eucharist, see, it's that idea of being thankful and even having a heart that had joy in it to please the Father, to do the will of the Father, even knowing it was going to cause such pain and suffering to himself. He would endure such agony. If Jesus could say grace as he instituted that feast, what hinders us from saying grace before a meal? And it shouldn't be something we just do before a meal. We should be so thankful for everything. And as we're about to partake of any of the blessings that God has provided, say grace. Say grace. Again, it's not a lesson about communion, but if we have communion with Christ, we have so much to be thankful for. See, because our relationship with God in Christ is not something we deserve or ever could. It's all about the blessing, the providence of God that he has so bountifully put on our table. And he invites us to feast. To feast. As you sit around the table on Thanksgiving, whether it's at a restaurant at Golden Corral, or it's at a friend or family's house or your own house, or even if you don't have the opportunity to be with those you love and you're feeling all alone, remember, you're not alone. In Christ, he dines with you. You're at the table of the Master, and he lavishly prepared a feast of grace for us. See, it's been by grace we've been saved, right? So however we might say grace, what do you say we'd be grateful for grace? I'm going to say that again. However you might say grace, or how often you might say it, express it, don't forget to be grateful for grace, the greatest gift of all, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you again in Jesus' name for the love and mercy extended to us in him. We want to thank you, Father, for his sacrifice for our sakes. We want to thank you, God, for not just what he's done in the past for us, though that would be enough if he never did another thing. Father, if he never blessed us with another single solitary thing, we would have reason to express thanks to you forever and ever. May we always enter your courts of praise, always coming before you with gratitude in our hearts. Thank you. Thank you for every good gift we have. And Father, thank you as we've learned for those times when it might seem like it's pretty lean times. It might not seem like we have a lot. that we've got Jesus, if he's all that we got, we have more than a lot. We have all that we could ever need. Thank you in Jesus' name.